This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz every Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Our friend Larry Anderson. I'm sorry, I called you friend. Is it okay if I call you our friend, Larry Anderson, L.A.?
Yeah, just don't do it a whole lot.
Okay.
You know, but
Jack uses it to get restaurant reservations.
Yeah. Way in the back.
Yeah. So we had the first NL East championship since 2011. Can you put some context on that about what you think it means to the team overall? To, you know, quite clearly the World Series is the goal, but what this small goal on the way to it means?
I think it's a big stepping stone. For a team that, you said, what, 13 years, it's a huge accomplishment. And I think, I mean, the players can say they expected to do that. I mean, they hope to do that. When you go into spring training, you got to go in believing you're going to win the World Series. You have to go in with that attitude and that mentality, or, I mean, you don't have a chance if you don't think that. Mm-hmm. And the first part of doing that is winning the division and hopefully carrying on forward, getting the bye. And go from there. But I think it's a tremendous accomplishment, especially in this division. Even though the Mets start off slow and they've had all the injuries, you never know what's going to happen. So for them to go almost wire to wire, I think is tremendous.
Yeah, and it has to be a good feeling for these guys, L.A.
Yeah.
They set this out as one of their goals. They weren't shy about talking about it and speaking on it. And to see that banner flying out there in center field, there has to be a sense of pride there and of accomplishment. And I think it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's certainly it's a great accomplishment, but it's I guess they could look at it and saying, well, it could be a little tainted if that's where it ends.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Yes. Yes.
But I think it's a confidence builder and it's a stepping stone to get to where they want to go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way they look at it. And I guess rightfully so, but it's certainly there's more boxes to check even before the regular season's over.
How much do you think, I thought about this the other day, how much of the Mets getting off to a slow start, they started off pretty slow, and then the Braves with the injuries they had pretty much throughout the first half of the season, and the Phillies getting off to a fast start. I guess I'm getting to the lethargic second half of the season that the Phillies sort of played baseball, 500 baseball. I'm wondering if not being pushed by the Braves or the Mets early in the season gave them this false sense of security to where they kind of took their foot off the gas.
Well, I think, there's no question about it. It's the first half was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it certainly helped that both those other teams in the division were struggling. The Braves, obviously, with the injuries, they were just decimated with the injuries, and the Mets just weren't playing well. I think that gave the Phillies a lot of confidence saying, hey, we can win this. We got to win this thing. It's our time. And they got up to such a big lead. I don't want to say they took their foot off the pedal, but it's almost like they felt like they had it in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to kind of cruise. I don't know. I mean, it's crazy because if you look at like the overall team batting average, it didn't vary a whole lot throughout the year. I think one of the things that changed a lot was just our lack of hitting with men in scoring position. And it seems like between that and the number of strikeouts in this second half, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like really, for me anyway.
Okay.
But it's the perception is it's like that to me, you know, that it looked like they might have taken their foot off the pedal a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they weren't trying or anything, but things that shouldn't happen like they did in the first half. And you expected the way that first half went that they would, you know, maybe set the record for wins in a season.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, now it's, no chance to even get to 100.
So you mentioned boxes left to check in the regular season. One that I think we're all pretty sure they'll check is getting a bye. They need a win. They need a Brewers to get one loss. The one seed is also within grasp. How important do you think it is for them to get the one seed, not from a mental perspective, but from having as many home games as they could possibly have, especially if they end up meeting, you know, the Dodgers or even the Padres in the NLCS?
I think, to be honest, I think just getting the bye, first or second seed, is secondary to getting a rest for these guys. And trying getting back to 100% before the playoffs start. I think that's Thompson's feeling, it's more important to have that rest and still get things set up the way you want, and then basically take it from there. I think the home field advantage is huge, obviously, here, but I think that it's more important at this point to make sure everybody's healthy. Maybe Harper's arm or wrist or elbow has a little more time to heal. Austin Hayes gets his feet under him a little bit better. Things like that. And I think that's think what they're looking at is just let's just get the bye. Let's not get overly concerned about the first or second seed because the importance is getting that little bit of rest.
Larry Anderson with us, as he is every Wednesday at 3:00. So assuming they get a bye and they're able to set up the rotation as they would, if you were setting the rotation, Chris Sanchez's numbers at home are much better than on the road. Would you consider starting him at the number two spot so his first start is at home as opposed to Nola in that first series?
I wouldn't consider it. I would absolutely do it.
Oh, there you go. Do you think Topper would consider it?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a Topper. I don't know him personally, but he does seem Nola's my two. He's my guy. I'm going to put him there. So that's why I ask.
I think, I totally agree in that respect for Topper. I mean, he's the manager, and he's going to make that decision. But if it was me, I would start him here in the second game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nola's pitched. He can pitch on the road in the playoff game. He can pitch at home. I think there's a big difference between Sanchez, you know, doing it here, and that's my feeling. I think he's been so good at this ballpark. Take advantage of that, and that's where I would go. I mean, but that's, you know, I agree. Topper's like, you know, he's been the guy. He's a big game pitcher. You know, saying he comes up big in all these clinching games. But that's remains to be seen. I think it also might depend on who we're playing.
Sure.
That I think obviously that's going to be a big part of it too. That if it's somebody that he feels maybe Nola can handle better against an offense that maybe he's had more success against, then I think it makes it even more of a possibility that you start Sanchez at home. If it's the other way around, maybe not. It just depends.
So, you know, as it stands now, we really have no idea who we would face in the NLDS. You know, it could be the Mets, Braves, Diamondbacks, Padres, Brewers. Is there one team on that list that you think you'd feel most comfortable with the Phillies playing in the NLDS?
For me, honestly, I don't think any team's overly confident playing anybody that's in this mix.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't see a team that I say, well, I'm not worried about them at all. And part of that is, to me, that is the lack of our offense in the second half, consistency in the offense. I mean, we can go out and throw up a 12-run game like we did the other night. Then we can turn around and have a game where we don't get a hit for the first five innings. And that just, it varies. I just, the inconsistency there scares me as much as anything. But this team can go on a roll with any other team too. But I think everybody in this kind of looks at it the same way. It's like, well, you look at the Dodgers lineup, but then their pitching is a little suspect right now.
Yeah.
And so there's all, everybody has flaws. So I don't think any team is overly confident going against any other team.
It's pretty amazing because at the beginning of the year, the rest of the National League looked like nobody really stuck out. And now it looks like every team making the playoffs.
Like hitting their stride
now. It's incredible. It seems like the best National League I can remember in a long time, at least at the top of it.
Yeah, I mean, the parity. And you look at that, and I think baseball loves that. And I think, you know, it's what the Mets are, 23-6 now in their last 29. They're playing well. Arizona's had some struggles, but I think they might have a little more confidence going against us because of last year or the last series there. But they're just, again, I just think everybody is capable of going the whole way in this thing. And these teams in this final six teams or whatever. Yeah. Final six teams, seven teams all battling it out. I think it's up in the air. I mean, obviously I believe in the Phillies, and I think they can do it, but I'm certainly not overconfident no matter who they play.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I got to tell you, as a baseball fan, LA, and obviously you're a former player, how do you like sort of the parity that's out there now in baseball? I know we obviously all want the Phillies to win the World Series, but if I'm just looking at it as a fan, I kind of like that a lot of the teams are sort of close in ability. Yeah. Like, it should make for a bunch of interesting series.
Oh, no question. I mean, it should be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, no matter who's there, it really is. It's, you know, it's funny how you get, like, the teams that they're in the playoff hunt versus the teams that are out of it. It's like there's some poor teams, but you know, throughout the season, it was like, no matter who you played, whether it was Cincinnati or Pittsburgh, you could run into some good pitching. You could run into some good hitting.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an easy road. I think the Phillies, because of the start they got off to in that first half, made it a little easier, but there's some talent out there.
Yeah,
and to have these teams that we have now, and to say seven teams that are vying for it, no matter how it turns out, it should be really exciting. And I think as a fan, I think people like that.
Right.
Although I think the fans here would probably prefer
that
the Phillies were heads and tails above everybody else.
I would
sure.
Yeah,
yes.
I would prefer they win every single game. Actually, it'd be better for my anxiety.
So, exactly.
So, last one from us, LA.
Yeah.
So, yesterday on the show, I have to ask you, as a not only former player, legendary broadcaster, 93 Philly, I think will become important. Yesterday on the show, I said at the beginning of it that while I think they should celebrate winning the NL East and they should have fun and they should be proud of themselves, I was watching the celebration on Tuesday night thinking to myself, wait a minute, are we punting a game tomorrow? We got to win. We got to get a bye. Is that out of line, I guess? Do you think that doing that the night before a game when you do have a win you can get, you know, Dodgers went and lost last night, all that sort of stuff, do you think that is an appropriate thought, I guess, to have?
I think to go out and celebrate is fine. you know, having a couple of social sparklers, I don't think hurt anybody.
But social sparklers, I don't think I've heard that one
before. We're going to steal that. We're stealing that, just so you know.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's actually from one of my good friends, may he rest in peace, David West, used to.
Oh, yeah.
Going out and having a social sparkler.
I like that.
But it's, I think you have to, there has to be moderation with everything. And I think that especially in that situation, there probably should be a little moderation. But I guess, you know, some guys can recover better than others. Lots of coffee, lots of caffeine.
Yeah. Come on, man. Stubby dove over the first baseman last night. I thought he was going to get up and maybe, you know, upchuck a little bit.
Stubby was the least of my worries. I know that dude can handle it. He's built for this.
Exactly.
All right, L.A. Well, we got the playoffs coming up, and I would like to congratulate you and all of us for not having to watch any more Taiwan starts the rest of the year. That's me saying it, not you saying it.
It was a... I've been maybe not quite to that extent. I've been there, but
yeah,
we've all struggled, and I feel bad, but it's, man, you got to figure something out there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, there he is, Larry Anderson.
All right, brother.
Next time we'll talk to you. We won't even know who we're gonna play because there won't be any Phillies baseball going on, God willing. But we will talk to you next week. We appreciate it as always, LA.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks, man. Right. 93 Phillies were kings of moderation, I think. They were very good at moderation. Chuck in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
Ico, Spico, and Jacko, what is the deal?
What up, Chuck?
Hey, listen, I say this from the bottom of my heart. I really do, right? Get my pleasantries, bro. I want to say you guys have settled into a great show. I didn't say that on the air since Spike joined the show, but it's very, very good listening.
Oh, thank you, man.
Now, let me rank, okay? Would you? Now, listen, I just want to say this, right? I went back and I watched that game again just last night. But for the life of me, I had to watch it again. And for me, the plays are coming in late now. You know what I mean? If you notice, the plays are coming in more late now than what they were against Green Bay. Now, you know, that's one of two things. You know, even the communication is off or this coach is involved. Too involved, okay? Now, I'm telling you right now, I'm at wit's end with this head coach. He's become more of a liability and a problem than an asset. And this is dating back to last year, okay? You know, you had problems with the players. You know, and players were starting to, you know, side-eye you a little bit. Now you're starting to interfere with the offensive coordinator. You know, what I'm saying is this. I don't know what to do with this guy. Fit him in a straitjacket, maybe fit him in a swoop uniform, maybe throw him in the bathroom. I don't know what to do with this guy. I just want him to stay away from my offensive coordinator, okay, and my quarterback, all right? Because the thing about it is this. You're messing up the rhythm of the game, okay? And that is very important, you know, when it comes to Sunday and football and winning football games, all right? You know, just stay away, man. There's too many chefs in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? Let Kellen Moore do what he does, man. You know what I mean? The plays coming in quick against Green Bay. Now it's starting to come in a little later, and I'm noticing that. Another thing I've noticed, too, that bothers me with Jalen Hurts is not the turnovers, okay? The turnovers, he's going to get together. You know, if history serves us right,
Bill,
he's going to get the turnovers right. Yeah. He's going to, you know, because he's not a turnover-pro quarterback. That's just
Bill. Well, he has almost half his career at this point.
Yeah, lately he has been. But what I'm saying is it's the read that's bothering me more than anything.
Okay.
You know, he had Dallas Goedert wide open for a touchdown.
He did.
Okay? And also,
twice, by the way, twice.
Right there. Yeah, he runs into the end zone. He walks into the end zone. And that's the difference between winning by 3 points and winning by 10 or 17 points and blowing a game wide open. You can't miss those reads, man. I'm telling you, that's going to come back to haunt us. Turnovers, I think he's going to get together. Those reads, man, you got to hit on those reads, especially when you have an opportunity. It's hard in the NFL to sustain drives, 10, 15 play drives, without turning the ball over eventually. On those quick hits, you got to hit that, man. And that's what's bothering me with the quarterback. Now, I'll tell you, I don't care if A.J. Brown come back healthy. I don't care if Devontae Smith come back healthy. What I'm saying is Dallas Goedert. You know what I mean? And I just goes for Kellen Moore, too. Dallas Goedert got to be a part of his offense.
Yes.
I need him to be targeted. Okay, I don't need him just because AJ's out and Devontae's out. Oh, it's by default. We don't need him the ball.
No. Yep.
opens up everything.
He does.
Yep. That guy's running across the middle, and he could break one on you. You're worried about this tight end. Now you got AJ on the outside, who's a monster. You got Devontae Smith on the outside, and you got Saquon in the back. He's licking his chops to run a 30 or 40 yard play. I need Kellen Moore, you know what I'm saying, and Jalen Hurts to understand this. Dick Dowling's got it, the football. Target him. He needs to be 8 to 10 targets a game.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, especially in the red zone. We got one of the worst red zone offenses in the league right now.
Can I say we probably won't have a problem with Dallas Goedert
this week.
You know, Devontae wasn't at practice. AJ wasn't at practice per Elliott.
Yeah.
And then Lane Johnson was there stretching. But
there
I can't imagine that either guy is going to play, Devontae or AJ. So we're going to have a healthy dose of Dallas Goedert, I think, on Sunday. But hopefully that sticks. And Chuck, the only thing I'll say about the read, and Jalen, I think you're right, but I do think the turnovers are connected to that.
Yeah, I hear you, Spike. But what I'm saying is this: I'm going off of Jalen's track record, long term. Okay, long term, he has not been a turnover prone quarterback. I don't know what happened.
It's 21 games. I mean, it's 21 games and 26 turnovers.
Man, can you let the guy have an opinion?
Yeah,
but
come on,
but
Jeff.
At some point,
let Chuck have his opinion.
The guy's a fumbling turnover machine. Well, no one's holding Chuck accountable.
No one's holding this dumbass coach accountable, okay?
Everyone holds him accountable. What are we talking about?
All we're doing is holding the coach accountable.
Yeah, you better keep holding him accountable. It's the reason why
he's mainly talking about me. He's talking about me.
Yeah.
Yeah, hold him accountable.
I know it. I know it.
They're really starting to go after Ike Reese now.
I'm with you, Chuck. Listen, it's leaning heavily in your favor right now. That's all I'm saying. It's leaning in your favor right now.
We do. Thank you for the call, Chuck. We do.
That's why I haven't given you much pushback on it
now.
Last 2 weeks.
Coach Sirianni, now the
I quote. I didn't want to hear that after week one.
The quote we played from Sirianni was from Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
He did speak today.
Okay.
He did speak more
okay.
about the play calling responsibilities
let this go,
with Kellen Moore.
He's got to be sick for having to answer.
I'm just wondering, is he answering it, though? Well, that's the problem. The questions aren't the problem. It's how much he dives into it.
I think he gave his best answer,
I would say,
on the
too.
Matter.
Yeah.
Oh, today?
Today.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard or seen it. Okay, so I'll wait.
So we will play you that. And not only that.
I'm already tensed up
yes.
over here.
No. I think it's good. I think it's a good answer.
All right.
I was going to suggest, we had a good conversation with Nick a couple of weeks ago during Radiothon. I think the three of us need to just get in a room with Nick and say, here's how I would handle it.
I don't want him anywhere near. Coach Sirianni.
All I'm saying is that I think Sirianni and I would be great friends.
No, hell no.
Don't know if I want to coach my football team, but as far as like guys.
Just hanging out, yeah.
You go to Zach
small
Bryan.
School guys.
See, oh, dude, we could bond over Division III, Division II baseball all day.
Forget going to Creed with me. You and Sirianni going to Creed would be we'll get you a car, get you a black truck.
By the way, he's 100% an IPA's man.
Definitely an IPA guy.
Yeah. Come on, me and Nick.
Yeah. All right. So coming up next, we will play you the audio. Nick did speak again about the play calling responsibilities and how it is divvied up. So we have that coming up next. Then we have Baldy coming up at 4. He was probably going to fight with Ike. And then right after Baldy, Jalen Hurts is going to talk today, and maybe somebody will ask him about it. That'll be around 4:15.
And Elliot will be there, he assured me.
Yes!
So finally doing his job.
Yeah, I can't believe. Well, he might have heard about today's Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings, which have changed.
He should be,
has changed. So all of that is coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.